Well, take your Bible and look at the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1. Revelation, chapter number 1. And last week we did the introduction to the book of the Revelation. I need to say just a couple of more things about some things in the book of Revelation so you can understand. A lot of people say the book of the Revelation is hard to understand, and some things it is. But it's more hard to believe than it is to understand. And once you get some of the things, some of the groundwork and the background laid, the book of the Revelation is fairly easy to understand. I'll tell you what I mean. In the birth of Christ, the first coming, what they call the first coming of Christ, you have four accounts of that. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not end to end. In other words, Mark doesn't pick up where Matthew leaves off and starts and goes on. And then Luke don't pick up where Mark and then John don't pick up where... They're not like this. They're like overlap. I'll give you an instance. There's in the book of Matthew, it says that Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Well, if you want to find out who the two sons of Zebedee are, you'll go to the book of Luke and it'll tell you who the two sons of Zebedee are, Peter, James, and John. You won't get that in Matthew, but if you'll look at Mark, he tells the same story and gives you more information. You understand? Same story, but he gives you the same more information than what you found in Matthew. So, when you go to the second coming of Christ, then you have four accounts of the second coming of Christ. And this is what you need to get. Now, some of this is from last week, so let me get to where I need to go. All right, here you go. There are seven seals found about chapter number 6 and goes through 8. All right, watch. That carries you through. The seven seals will carry you through the whole tribulation. And then the book of the Revelation starts over, comes back to the middle, and goes seven trumpets, and goes from the middle all the way to the end. And then it starts again from the beginning and goes off. You say, why does it do that? It gives you more information every time. Now, this is nothing unusual in the Bible. The Genesis account, Genesis chapter 1, gives you the creation account of 6 days of creation, and then he's rested on the seventh. And then chapter 2 goes back. The creation only happens once. But chapter 2 gives you more detail, and it goes back and gives you more detail of chapter number 1. So what happens is, when you go through the first time, you come back, and it starts about middle ways. And it'll go seven trumpets. We'll go from the middle ways all the way to the end. And then it comes back again. You'll start again about chapter 12, the seven purses. It'll start from the beginning, go all the way to the end. And then it'll come back and start at the middle and start at the seven vials about chapter 15 and go to the end. Does that make sense? Four accounts of the first birth, the first coming. Matthew gives the birth. Mark don't give the birth. Mark starts at his baptism. Luke starts at the birth. And John doesn't start. John starts way plumb before creation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So none of them start at the same spot, but it gives you four different accounts of the same thing. The only difference is this is four different books. The book of Revelation is one book, and it'll carry you through there four different times. The second coming only happens once, but you'll read about the second coming four different times in the book of the Revelation. So once you get that laid out in your mind, once you get that you are making multiple trips through the tribulation. A lot of people start reading in Revelation chapter number 1 and they think in their mind, like we normally would think, that everything is consecutive. Everything is in sequence. But it's not. It'll go back and give you some more information. Then it'll go back, give you some more information. And so that's what it gets confusing about the book of the Revelation. It's not that it's end-to-end, it's overlapping. And some of the same things are going on at the same time. Now, let me give you just a few things here. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at Revelation chapter 6. Look at Revelation chapter 6. I'll show you something here very interesting. Revelation chapter 6. You notice on the top line, the seven seals, Revelation 6. Watch this. Look at verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it was a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. Uh-oh. Now wait. I know what you're thinking. Once you see a white horse, now watch. This is how the devil does it. Jesus Christ is coming back on a... But this ain't Jesus Christ. This is somebody different. Why? Because the devil always duplicates what God does. Why? Because he's the master deceiver. And so watch. Verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Y'all see that? Now, this man, this mystery man on this white horse, he has a bow, watch, but no arrow, which means he comes peace. I have a bow, no arrow, peace. Peace in the Middle East. You got it? He's a mystery man. And he appears to be on a white horse. And when he shows up, everybody's going to say, "Hey, that's the one we've been looking for right there." And it's not. He's a master deceiver. And you have to know in that Bible, you have to know, try the spirits to see if they be of God. Everything you see on television ain't of God. Just because it happens in a big church and somebody's got a black suit on with a black Bible. Waving a black Bible and they got a lot of money and they got big buildings and all of that. That doesn't mean it's of God. And so the devil is the master of that. Now watch this. I don't have time. I'll get to it when we get to chapter 6. But watch this. He has a bow in his hand, but no arrow. You shoot a bow with three fingers. You ever see anybody on television do this? And they do it with what? Now you say, okay, whatever. Got a bow. No arrow. He comes in peace. And then you'll see, then there's another horse. let's see, on down, there's a pale horse. There is a black horse. And all of these deal with certain things. Now look at verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Now we went from the first seal to the sixth. And lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. Y'all see that? How many of y'all heard the big hoopla about the blood moons? Well, this is what I think about the blood moons. All you're trying to do is sell books. Sell your little video to make money. The blood, the moon's turned into blood. I saw it the other night. It looked red to me. The Lord didn't come. The master deceiver. Now, this is what's going to happen at the second coming. The stars of heaven, verse 13, fall on the earth, even as a fig casts her untimely figs when she is shaken with a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their place. I'm telling you. Revelation 19 says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and the righteous he the judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. His name is called the Word of God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Verse number 12 and 13 and 14, the heavens roll back as a scroll. That's the second coming in verse 14. But the second coming only happens once. So what I just told you is true. After you get through here, you're going to come back, start by chapter 8, and you're going to take another trip through. And you'll find the second coming again in chapter number 11. We ain't going to take time to look at it tonight. You'll take time. You'll look at, and then again in chapter 14. You'll have to see it right at 14. And then you'll see it again in 19. That's four trips through. and four accounts of the second coming. Once you get that down, you've pretty well got what you need to have as far as what goes on in the book of the Revelation. You can pretty well figure it out from there. All of this stuff, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven purses, the seven vials, they're going on at the same time. The seven trumpets don't pick up when the seven seals lay off. They're happening at the same time. You understand? And so that's what's the confusion about the book of the Revelation. And so when you start reading, you'll see some of the similarities that happen between the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven purses, seven vials. You'll see some of the same things that are happening. Now, let me give you some other things. You'll look at, let me show you this. You'll see in chapters 2 and 3, you'll see seven churches. I told you last week in a historical application and a practical application and a, spiritual application, we had these seven churches over here. Matter of fact, I'll show you a picture of it that if you weren't here. I had the seven churches like this before the rapture. And I showed you how they pictured the seven different time periods in the church age that we live in today. And that is a spiritual application. But let me give you the doctrinal application, okay? And there is a difference. The doctrinal application is this. Those seven churches belong in the tribulation. Now, I know some of you have never heard that before, but listen to me. Listen to me real good. If the rapture was to take place right now, everybody in this room that's saved would leave. Okay? We'd be gone. We would go up. We would go up right here at the rapture of the church. We go up, all the same. We go up and we go to the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody else is left down here behind. Well, I got news for you. Holy Hills Baptist Church is not going to shut down and close its doors at the rapture. Maybe you thought that. But Holy Hills Baptist Church will need a bigger building than what we have out there on the wall after the tribulation or after the rapture. And Holy Hills Baptist Church will become a tribulation church in the tribulation. Does everybody understand that? I mean, don't think that every church in Dyersburg is going to close its doors after the rapture. The only thing that's going to change is every saved person in that church is going to leave. And then everybody in Dyersburg, just like after September the 11th, is going to flood this church, and every church in Dyer County will be full to capacity. Now let me show you what I mean. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 7. Look at 2:7. 2:7 says, after the church at Ephesus, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Y'all see that? Now, let me ask y'all a question. You didn't get saved that way by having to eat of the tree of life, did you? Well, then this church at Ephesus does. Well, where does it go? It goes right where we got it, right there. You say, well, I like it. Okay, look at 2:26. 2:26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. Y'all see that? Y'all are not working to the end, are you, to get saved? Y'all working because you are saved. Not to be saved and overcomer. Okay, so he says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Well, that's after the church of Thyatira. Well, guess where? If that ain't how you got saved, then where does that belong? That belongs right there in the tribulation. Does everybody see that? Okay, maybe you don't. All right, watch. Look at 3, verse 5. If this one don't make you pull your hair out, I've read it a couple of times. Come on, people. Come on, that was a good place to laugh. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, But I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. Y'all see that? Does that sound a little odd to you? You know why? Because doctrinally speaking, that church don't belong here. It belongs over here. In the tribulation. Because Holy Hills Baptist Church is going to, it'll be thriving through the tribulation period. Other churches as well, probably. Now that we've got that, let me show you this, and it looks like this is probably, go to chapter 1, and let's look at something. I want to start in verse 1, and I want to read down to about verse 10, makes a few more comments. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now notice the word signified. Sign is in the front of it. Who requires a sign? Does anybody remember? Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. Look at verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. You notice that which was, that which is, and that which is to come. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Past, present, and future. Prophet, priest, and king. That which was. Isaiah got to see that which was in Isaiah 6. That which is, Stephen got to see that which is in Acts chapter number 7. And then John got to see that which is to come. Amen. That which was, is, and is to come. Three different prophet, priest, and king. Three different ministries. That's why the wise men brought three gifts to the Lord. Prophet, priest, and king. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead. Now, the first begotten of the dead, you say, well, now, there are people before Jesus that rose from the dead. Right? Lazarus. The woman the named son. Y'all help me now. And Jairus' daughter. There's three people that rose from the dead before Jesus. So how can Jesus be the first begotten of the dead? Jesus was the first one to resurrect and never die again. The first begotten of the dead. Jairus' daughter was raised and had to die again. Lazarus was raised, had to die again. The widow named son was raised and had to die again. Jesus Christ is the first begotten of the dead, and when he arose, he'll never die again. So that's what that means, first begotten of the dead. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And the church said, amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Now I'm just commenting as I read. That verse right there could only come to pass in recent days. 100 years ago, that verse could not come to pass. Every eye is going to see him. How's every eye going to see him? Fox News, CNN, ABC, CBS, whatever. How's everybody going to be seeing? All the cameras are going to be there. And the heavens are going to roll back as a scroll. And all the cameras are going to be, and every eye is going to see the Lord coming back. Every eye is going to see in verse 7. Now look at verse number 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Now, let me say something about the Alpha and Omega. Alpha is the first Greek letter, and Omega is the last. The first and the last. The Alpha and the Omega. It's not, okay, The Alpha and Omega is not like this, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, not like that. This is a circle. And if you could imagine a circle in your mind, anywhere on the line of the circle, you'll have the beginning and the end. It don't matter where you touch the circle, you've got the beginning and the end. Stay in your seat. It's okay. But it's not, he had a beginning here and an ending. It's like this. Anywhere you touch on that circle, hallelujah, I'm about to enjoy my own preaching again. All right, Alpha and Omega. Now, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, which is in the isle that is called Patmos, from the word of God and from the testimony and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, John was on the Isle of Patmos over there in Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. And there was a matter of fact, I thought I had some pictures of that at one time. And I don't know what I did with them. But anyway, I'll find them. And I'll show you how when he looked out the window of the jail cell that he was in, he looked out where they say where he was at. I don't know, but this is where they say he was at. He looked out and he could see all those seven churches. And he wrote about those seven churches. And he was exiled to that particular place. Now, here's where I want to get to in verse number 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto the Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice which spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Y'all see that? You say, what are the seven golden candlesticks? Well, you'll have to read verse 20, and they'll tell you what the seven golden candlesticks are. Verse 20 will tell you the seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches. Verse 13 says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one, like unto the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to the foot and girded about with the pouch with a golden girdle. Y'all see that? His head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And so he had a right hand, seven stars, and so on and so forth. Now, I'll get into more of that a little later. I want to deal with verse number 10. And let me say this. Here's a lot of confusion about verse 10. Verse 10. And I'm going to say a few things. We'll run a few verses. And then we'll be done tonight as far as this goes. But in verse 10, it says, John, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, I know what you've been told. And I know what you've heard. And what you've heard probably, if it's this, it is incorrect. That John was in the Spirit on Sunday. Because everybody knows Sunday is the Lord's day. Well, I don't believe that. I believe every day is the Lord's day. Why are you just going to give him one? I know that all that is tradition and vain philosophy. You know, tradition. Well, you got to sing, you got to stand up here, and you stand like a bunch of yo-yo, just stand and you stand on for you know, all that. I like doing stuff different. Brother Joe came up. He said, "Hey, what about getting a choir up here and just doing something?" I said, "Let's do it." Why? It's different. You don't want to get into tradition. I've been saying this for a long time. One of these days I'm coming in here. We're going to have the invitation first. We're going to have a message. And then we're going to do the songs. And then we're going to leave after the altar. Just do it backward. Just to be different. So nobody could say we are tradition. Because I don't like that. Anyway. Now, he was not in the Spirit. Now, think about this. I'm trying to hurry. But don't rush me. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now wait. Listen. If you're saved in this room right now, you're in the Spirit every day. I can't get out of the Spirit. Now, I may not act like I'm in the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions about being in the Spirit. A lot of people think being in the Spirit... A lot of people think being in the Spirit is, boy, they reach up there and swing off that chandelier, and boy, they start a hollering and carrying on, and they run back and slap three men, and which I'm for, and, you know, jump up, touch the exit sign, throw a songbook up in the air, do a backflip coming down the aisle, and everybody leaves and go, man, they was in the Spirit. No, they wasn't. No, they wasn't. They's putting on a show for you. Hey, let me tell you a little secret about being in the Spirit. Y'all ready? The Spirit never exalts itself. He points to the Son. So if you're getting more attention, if you're getting more attention than the Lord's getting, you ain't in the... Well, back up. You are in the Spirit, but it's a small S and not the big S. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it. Now thank you. Yeah, you in a Spirit, all right, but it ain't the Holy One. So you don't remember that. Anytime it draws more attention to you than it does Him, you might be in the wrong Spirit. Now I'm not saying don't get happy. Hey, I'm for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Whatever. I'm for all that. But hey, can y'all just nod your head? Y'all just nod your head. Can y'all not tell the difference when it's real and when it ain't? Can y'all not tell? Have y'all not been around long enough? I've been around. Son, we've sung in some places. Hallelujah. Lord, I thought the snakes was coming out any minute. And I'm like Wendy Bagwell. I'm looking for a door. Where you want one at? Y'all want a new door or a drive-through? Come on. Bring out a snake and see what happens. Mama didn't raise no dummy. Man. The only good snake is a dead snake. Glad I got some amens on that. And the Spirit on the Lord's day. So what does that mean? If John was saved and he was at the day of Pentecost, he got filled with the Spirit there and never got out of it. So it's not like he just got in it on this day. No, no, no. Let me show you what it means. It means, okay. Let me show you something real funny. Try to find real quick. I know what time it is. People look at me like, I know what time it is. You ain't got to give me signals. Look at Ezekiel real quick. You'll think this is... I hope you do. Look at Ezekiel chapter 8, and I'll show you what happened to John. Did y'all know that most of the terminology that old-timers use come out of the Bible? Watch this. Ezekiel chapter 8. Now, if you got a Schofield, it's page 847. 847. If you got a good old Schofield reference Bible, page 847, that might help you. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, it's right in that area. Obadiah, Jonah, whatever. Ezekiel chapter 8. And look about verse 3. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy. Y'all see what happened to Ezekiel? The Spirit. How many of y'all ever heard the old timers say, picked them up, snatched them up, by the hair of the head. You know where that come from? That come from the Bible. So the Holy Spirit, is that, did y'all read it? Some of you looking like I read something out of a catalog. Holy Spirit come down, grabbed him by the locks of his head. Is that what it said? Picked him up and carried him over to Jerusalem so he could see the temple. Look down there. You see it? All right. Am I telling it right? Okay. So, don't say it can't happen. The Lord can do what He wants to do. I don't know if the Holy Spirit picked John up by the hair of the head. Don't say. But He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, let me show you this. You're where? Ezekiel? Look at Zechariah. Keep turning to the right. Right before you get to Matthew, Zechariah 14, I think. Let me look. I think it's 14. Y'all hang on. Y'all not in a hurry, are you? Okay. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Is everybody there? Verse 1. All right. Behold, the day of what? The day of the Lord cometh. You know what that is? That's the Lord's day. The day of the Lord cometh. That's the Lord's day. That thy spoil be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. You know what that is? That's the battle of Armageddon. Verse 4, I'm trying to hurry. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east, toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. He shall flee to the valley, and so on and so forth, and all of that kind of thing. That is the second coming. That is the day of the Lord. All right, let me show you. I got more verses, but I don't think you can stand it. Zechariah 14, the day of the Lord. Y'all see that? Now, I'm almost done. Hang on. Watch. All right. John wrote the book of Revelation about 95. Y'all see John there? He's scratching his head. He don't know what's going on. He scratched his head because he just got pulled up by the hair of the head. There's John, and he's in about 95 A.D. That means 95 years after the birth. With me? There he is. So, the Holy Spirit comes down, picks him up by the hair of the head, and I'm just saying that. I don't know if he did or not, but he says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Watch. Picked him up and took him off. He saw all of us. He saw the rapture and put him right there. And he was in the Spirit, where? On the Lord's day. Now, how are you going to write about it if you didn't see it? Let me get on this side. How are you going to write about it if you didn't see it? So if you're going to write about it, he's going to pick you up and show you all this stuff. And then over here, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, John, take a book out. Start writing. Amen. Now what? You remember I just told you just a few minutes ago, that those churches and the tribulation belongs in the tribulation? All right, watch this. Where was I? Look at verse, let me read this right here. Stay with me. Don't go to a commercial right here. Look at verse 10. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'm standing by, am I standing about right in the Lord's day? All right. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, first and last, which thou seest, write in the book. And send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Ephesus, so on and so forth, so on and so forth. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, y'all, look at me. and being turned, I saw what? Seven golden candlesticks, which are what? Y'all see them? When he turned, because he's standing at the day of the Lord, and when he turned to see, what did he see? And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothes, whatever. Y'all see all that? Then, all right. Whoa, let's see. Hang on. Hold the phone. All right, verse 19, and we're done. Don't believe that. That's a trick. Verse 19, it's what he tells John. Watch, he's standing in the day of the Lord. Write the things which thou hast seen. Look, hast seen. So what is he fixing to start in chapter 2? The things he hath seen. The seven churches. And what else? Which thou hast seen, the things which are. He's standing in the which are. And the things which shall be hereafter. Is everybody with me? Book of Revelation is easy to understand. Hallelujah. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and it wasn't Sunday. And he wasn't swinging off a chandelier somewhere, and he wasn't throwing a songbook up in there. He was in the Spirit. God picked him up, the Holy Spirit, and brought him over here to the Lord's Day and let him see those things which he has seen, which are, and the things which he shall see hereafter. The book of Revelation is laid out in that fashion. You'll find majority of the book of the Revelation. The majority of the book of Revelation deals with the tribulation period. Right there. Four different trips to this thing. And it's going to give second coming. And then chapters 21 and 22. This is 19. 21, 22 will give you all this information. And you've got the book of the Revelation. Now, I'm not saying you're going to understand everything in it, because sometimes you've got dragons and stuff coming out of the ground and dragons up in the sea in the middle of the air and all that stuff. Don't worry about that. Just make sure you go up right here. And just make sure you go up right here and you're watching all of this from your TV up there. You better hope you're watching it on TV and not in it. Because if you're in it, you're in a mess. Amen. So, that woke some of you up. Make sure you go up in the rapture where all the saved go up. And, all right. That help? All right. What do we do now? Mark, come play something. Just a second.